You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Well, let me say happy Mother's Day to all of you. I haven't got to tell you that. What an amazing day. As I like to say, we're all here because of a mom. So that's how we all get into this place. So we're definitely thankful. And I know, man, just walking through our congregation, first service, second service, Mother's Day comes with a lot of emotion. And so I know for some of you, it's just all joy. And Mother's Day is just happy. Your mom's here. Everything's good. And I know for some of you, your mom is went to be with the Lord. And so it's a really tough day. Maybe some of you ladies have lost children. You're struggling with infertility. There's a lot of things around Mother's Day. And I just want to be sensitive to all that. And as a congregation, what we do is we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn. So it's appropriate in all those ranges of emotion. But we do just want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody. We want to celebrate you as moms today. And so we're going to have a message. We don't always do this. We're going to have a message to moms today. And we're going to talk about disciple-making motherhood. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And as we get there, man, just thinking about motherhood in general. As I watch my wife, Katie, be a mom, I'm just always blown away at what she does. Like, it's just so impressive, right? If you have a front row seat to a wife who's a mom, it's mind-blowing what all they do, right? She is like the world-class multitasker, and I think most women and most moms are brilliant at multitasking. It's unbelievable what you guys do. The amount of meals that woman cooks. And then if she's not cooking it, she's having to like organize, how is everybody getting fed? And they're not really looking to dad much. I mean, I try to help, but it's not that great. She's a ninja at all those things. And then you've got the amount of laundry that my wife does with four kids. It's nuts. Like, there's just always laundry. Like, what are you doing? Laundry. What are you doing? Laundry. There's always laundry. And I'm trying to be helpful, but man, she's the lead on that in our house. And she does such a phenomenal job. And then also she's got a job outside the home. And she's tried organizing like schedules and tasks. And hey, what are the kids doing? I'm asking. Like, I usually don't know. Like, who needs dropping off where? She got the master schedule. And I know she feels like a lot of the pressure of all the things. And if you're a mom, you probably feel the pressure of all the things. Would that be right? I mean, it's just like, man, motherhood is so complicated and so hard, and there's so many things. And I think in a lot of ways, God has created you guys to be great multitaskers. Like, for us dads, I'll be honest, we're like one or two things. Like, if you're a guy, you're probably a one or two thing guy, right? You can handle one thing, maybe two things. And I can handle one or two things really good, and I'm focused on that. What I've noticed, my wife can handle like 100 things at the same time. And they're all juggling and all doing and all going. And I'm just amazed at all that she can do. I'm amazed at all that moms can do. And they can all just say moms are a precious gift from the Lord, right? I mean, it's unbelievable in the Lord's just goodness and beauty. I love Genesis 3:20, that Eve became the mother of all living. What a beautiful gift of motherhood. It was God's design. It was God's idea that all of us would come into this world through a mom. That's God's good plan. That's God's good design. And we want to celebrate motherhood in all of its ways. And I remember but I do want to acknowledge there's the pressure of mom, right? I know when our kids were small, they would always go through the house just yelling mom. Even in that stage where your kids are just saying mom all the time, mom, mom, mom. Maybe your kids are older, still saying mom. Maybe your kids are out of the house, they're still calling and saying, is mom there? Right? Mom, mom. And I would be like in the living room, they would pass by me yelling mom. And I'm like, I'm here. Hey, what do you need? Like, tell me, I'm a capable human being. I know a few things. Like, no, it's a mom thing. I'm like, well, just try me. I mean, there's not a whole lot of things you need as a five-year-old. I think I can handle whatever you need. And then they would tell me, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You ask your mom. Like, I don't know that one. I don't know what we're doing today. She's going to tell me, and I'm going to tell you, and we're all going to get in the van, right? So it's just, it's so true. Like, so many things are on your shoulders, and you're juggling that. And here's what I want to say, though. Just because you probably have the superpower of multitasking and doing everything for everyone, sometimes the superpower of multitasking can become a danger. And the reason it becomes dangerous is because sometimes, moms, you can do everything in all the details and all the stuff and actually forget to do the one thing that matters most. And that's passing on the faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you as a mom pass on the faith? There's a preacher that we love who says you need to keep the main thing the main thing. So moms, what is your main thing? It's passing on the faith. And so let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to see this aim of passing on the faith. And if you would stand out of reverence for the word of God, I'll read what Paul writes to Timothy. And we're looking at a household of Lois and Eunice, and we're going to learn some things from them this morning. Here's what we see in verse 5. I am reminded of you, that's Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Let's pray together. Father, we pray as we look at this household that we would see that Timothy's faith started with a faithful grandma and a faithful mom. And they did the one thing that mattered most. They passed the faith on to young Timothy. Help us as grandmas and moms, help us to do the same. Help us to pass on the faith well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So here we see this beautiful passage of he's talking to Timothy and he says, I want to remind you of your sincere faith, a faith that's real, a faith that's genuine. And then he says, I want you to remember where you got it from. It's a faith that first dwelt in your grandma Lois and your mom Eunice. In other words, there was a grandma and a mom who passed on the faith to young Timothy. So the first question is, okay, well, where is dad? I mean, where's dad in this whole picture? Because, you know, like God's design is to have a mom and a dad who are raising their kids in the way of the Lord. We're going to see this on Father's Day, that fathers, you have a very important responsibility. You are to raise your kids in the way of the Lord. And we see husbands and wives are helping each other in that. But in the text, we find there's not a dad in the picture. It's a single mom. Or it's a mom who has an unbelieving husband. And we see that from Acts chapter 16, verse 1. It says this, Paul came also to Derbe in Lystra. A disciple is there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So what's the historian trying to tell us? When it came to Timothy, he had a believing mom, a mom that raised him in the Lord, but his father was a Greek. And we know the young Timothy didn't get the covenant sign on his body, so his dad was not approving clearly of Judaism and following the ways of the Lord. So we can guess that this dad was a non-believer. He was not present in the home. He was not part of Timothy's discipleship. So then how did Timothy get the gospel? If he didn't have a dad in the home, how did Timothy hear about Jesus? Through a faithful grandma and a faithful mom. And I just want to encourage you because some of you are in that season of life. You're a single mom. It's just you. Or maybe you have a husband who's a non-believer and he's not helping at all in raising your kids in the way of the Lord. He's not helping at all getting the gospel to your kids. Don't be hopeless. I want you to see young Timothy. Young Timothy got the gospel, not from a mom and dad, but from a grandma and a mom. And maybe that's you this morning. You're in that spot. And I want you to see that you have this great privilege and power to transfer the faith to the next generation. Notice what we see. We see a sincere faith. That means without play acting, without pretense, without hypocrisy. See, so that word sincere, it's genuine. It's not to play act. And what actors would do to be hypocrites is in a play, they would have a mask and they put on a mask and play one character and they put another mask on, they'd play another character. That was very common in the day. And that word comes from, hey, to be non-hypocritical, to be sincere, it's not to wear a mask. So we see as Timothy's a kid who doesn't wear a mask. He's actually really authentically following Jesus. It's not just a church thing. It's an all the time thing. And you know where he got that from? His grandma and his mom. So you know what this tells me about his grandma and his mom? This sincere faith first dwelt in them. They had a sincere faith, a real faith, a genuine faith, a faith that didn't just come to church and mom is loving Jesus at church and mom is loving Jesus when she's around the Jesus people. But then truth be told, when she's at home and just doing whatever she wants, it's a different person. You're one person at church, you're one person at home. That's to be hypocritical. And what Paul is saying is you had a mom and a grandma who weren't hypocrites. They were real, genuine. They had an authentic faith and it dwelt in them. Think about that word dwell, that the faith took residence in their very lives and it changed them from the inside out. It wasn't just this part of their life. No, it was their very life, that everything was about the Lord Jesus. And they're going to pass this on to young Timothy. So the first question I want to ask to moms and also to all of us is, do you have a sincere faith? Do you have a real, genuine faith? One that doesn't wear a mask and pretend like you love Jesus in certain places, but one that always loves Jesus all of the time and is walking with him all of the time. Are you true and authentic? There's a guy named Jamie who's been coming to our church for a year or so, and he's been in and out of church sort of his whole life, and made a profession of faith when he was young and just kind of lived out the Christian life, went to church, did good, all the stuff, and had some hard seasons and some just back and forth with the Lord. And I got to meet with him Wednesday night and he said, "Hey, I want to tell you something. About 2 months ago, man, like just hearing preaching over and over again and being in small group and getting to talk about my faith and talk about the gospel, what the Lord revealed to me, I'm 49 years old and I don't have a genuine faith. I've believed all my life. I've tried all my life. I've been in this Christian thing all my life, but I don't actually know Jesus." And he said, 2 months ago, I was able to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus and actually come to faith in him. And now everything is different. Like my whole life is different. Now it's not just like a checkbox, like come to church, do that thing. I love Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. Jesus has invaded my life. The gospel has transformed me. And he was like a giddy little kid talking about his now true, sincere faith. See, what we know about the gospel is if God saves you, he changes you. So if you've been saved, you've been changed. So if you haven't been changed, if nothing's ever taken place that's changed your life, then it's evident you don't have saving faith, because saving faith changes us, leads us to sanctification, leads us to pursue and walk with him. We're going to get to baptize Jamie at the end of the month as a 49-year-old guy who always believed in Jesus, but never knew Jesus. And now he knows Jesus and it's changed everything about his life. So I'll just ask you, mom, do you actually know Jesus? Do you have a sincere faith in Jesus that's not here, I'm a believer, when I get home, I forget about him? No, all the time, I'm loving and pursuing the Lord. So it first starts with a sincere faith that you have, and then you get to pass that on to your kids. And you can't pass on something that you don't possess. So you need to possess a saving faith to pass on that faith to your kids. So what is the aim? What's the goal of motherhood? Well, the goal is to pass on the faith. Like one thing I hope to do this morning is to let you take a deep breath and chill out just a little bit at motherhood, because I know how hard it is. And I know what the perceived goal is everywhere you look. Like if you're a mom and you're on social media, if you're a mom and you're just watching stuff and looking at stuff, I know what the message is to you. Your goal is to make your kids happy and to make sure they chase and achieve all of their dreams. That's your goal as mom. Hey mom, what's your whole purpose in life? Make your kids happy. Make every moment of their life awesome and make it bigger than every one of their friends, and make sure that others can see how awesome it is and how great of a time they are. Right, as you're flipping the social media, the The messaging is your kids deserve to be happy, and here's all the ways you can make every day of summer to be the biggest blast camp experience they could ever have in their life. That's what you need to do, Mom. And if you're not doing it, you're somehow letting your kids down. And then as they grow, it's you got to make sure they get the right grades and get into the right school and get the right scholarships and get the right stuff and get the right job and marry the right person. And all that pressure is on you, Mom. And some of you can feel it. And you're just scrolling through. Like when I look at Katie's like media feed versus mine, like mine's like, here's how to improve your golf swing. And here's a lifted truck. That's like what I'm being sold. Katie's being sold, like, here's what everybody else is doing all the time, and here's how you need to make sure your kids are above and topping that, and here's all the things that you need to do to make sure they have the best dreams and the best life and the most happiness they could possibly have. That's the messaging to you, Mom, that your whole life is about making sure your kids are the happiest they can be, and they get every dream they could ever want. And here's what I want to warn us. And I'm going to warn moms. We're going to talk about dads on Father's Day, so it's coming. Bring him back. Here's the danger. Moms, are we helping our kids gain the whole world at the cost of their soul? I mean, Jesus says, if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, you lost in the end. So as moms and dads, are we helping our kids gain the whole world at the cost of their soul? Like we're with all the other things, the 10,000 things, we're doing them all. But we're forgetting the one most important thing, and that is to pass on the faith. Notice what grandma and mom did to Timothy. They passed on the faith. They passed on their sincere faith. Timothy got the faith because he watched grandma and he watched mom live it out and grow in it, and it was contagious to him. So that is the first and foremost thing. That's the goal. That's the aim. It's not that our kids are happy and they chase all of their dreams. It's okay if they're happy. It's okay if they get their dreams, but those are secondary issues. The point is for us to pass on our faith to them. And by the way, if your kids have moments of unhappiness, it's a great thing. If your kids have moments where they're bored, that's a beautiful thing. Like I know for us as parents, if your kid says, Mom, I'm bored. That's like a knife in you, right? Oh no, I've got to go. And boredom is one of the greatest gifts that God can give to your kids. They need to be bored. Boredom is a great thing. So the next time your kid says, Mom, I'm bored, say, great. God's going to use that in some really cool ways. Because you know what? He's got some things to say to you, and you've been so busy you haven't heard him. So be bored and just listen to the Lord. And when they say, I'm bored, say, go outside. And you know what's going to be magical? Is if you leave your kids bored and outside, they're probably going to stumble upon the wonder of God. They're probably going to stumble upon some things that they've been missing that maybe in busyness and entertainment we've kept them from. So moms, don't feel pressure to make your kids happy and entertained all the time. It's not attainable. It's not reachable. The moms you're following on social media, they're not doing it either. They're just posting when they do. Let yourself off the hook. It's okay for your kids to be bored. It's okay for them to be unhappy. The goal is to pass on the faith. So if we got the goal, then how do we do it? How do we actually pass on the faith to our kids? We're going to go a few pages in our Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go there, and we're going to get an insight on what the home of Timothy looked like. So the goal is pass on the faith, help them walk with Jesus. Verse 14 of chapter 3 says this, "But as for you," that's Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it from. And how from childhood you were acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So we get an insight into the home of Timothy. Hey, Timothy, man, continue in what? In what you've learned and what you believe. When did you learn it and when did you believe it? It was when you were a child, you were acquainted with the sacred writings. You were acquainted with the Bible from a child in your own home and you learned it and you grew in it and it led you to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does this tell us about grandma and mom? They taught Timothy the Bible. That's what they did. They taught Timothy the Bible. And that's not all they did, but they did that. So our goal is pass on the faith. How do we do that? Teach our kids the Bible. So I'm going to simplify, like all of your motherhood, here's just like two things. Forget all the rest. Just do these. Now, all the other things are important too. They're just not most important. The most important is to pass on the faith. And how do we do that? We teach our kids the Bible. So I want to think about, okay, how do we actually do that? Well, first of all, knowing who you learned it from, that's probably a reference to Lois, Eunice, and Paul. His grandma, his mom, and then Paul would have helped him learn the scriptures. He was acquainted when he was a child. Now, I think that includes in the home, but it wasn't exclusive to the home. There's no doubt that Eunice took little Timothy to synagogue and to temple. He was acquainted with the sacred writings from pastors and teachers. Right? So it's a good thing, moms, to bring your kids to church. You want to teach them the Bible at home, but also at church. Bring them to Vacation Bible School. Let them have a blast that week because they're also going to hear from the Bible. We're going to connect it all to Jesus, but I think it's also something that happened to Timothy at home. It wasn't just them taking him to a place. And this is that really important thing. We were driving back from Nashville last night, and we went there to eat with my mother-in-law for Mother's Day. We're coming back, and I'm asking Katie, hey, I've got this Mother's Day idea. I'm running through the stuff, and do you have anything to add to you, anything to say? And she's like, well, I'm reminded of, and when we read through Judges just a month or two ago in the Bible reading plan, that there's a line there in Judges that there's a generation who came after them who did not know the Lord. And it's really an indictment on a group of people because they knew the Lord, they walked to the Lord, but they forgot to tell their kids about the Lord. They forgot to raise the next generation. So when this next generation came, they had no clue who the Lord was. Why did they not know? Because mom and dad didn't teach them and tell them. And so we've got to remember that in all the stuff we do, one of the biggest responsibilities is to teach our kids to know the Lord. Now, whether they decide to know him or not is up to them. What we've got to do is to teach them to know him. We've got to teach them who the Lord is and how they can come to him by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I think Eunice probably knew the Shema and she lived it out. So that's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You've heard these verses, but I want to read them. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Notice that. You shall love the Lord, and the teaching shall be on your heart. So he starts with the people. So moms, it starts with you. That you're the one who loves the Lord, and you're the one who has his teachings on your heart. You can't pass something you don't possess. So mom, start with you. Are you loving the Lord, and are you soaking in your Bible and hearing from him? And then notice, as you love and the teachings on your heart, notice what happens next. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as signs on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets in your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So this is as you're going all the time, sitting, walking, standing, you're all the time teaching your kids the wonderful things about God. Now, I'll be honest, I'm a little afraid to go into my next section because what I want to do is I want to give practical tips to you as mom to do what Eunice did, and that's raise her kid in the Bible, to teach him, to acquaint him with the scriptures from an early age. I want to give just some practical handles. So I listed like 15 things that moms can do at home to get their kids to know and walk with Jesus, and had this list. And I text the list out to Abby, Shelley, and my wife, and I said, hey, I've come up with this list, 15 things for moms to do. Can you look over it and add to it? I didn't get a text back. I got a phone call. I got an angry Abby. And if you've had an angry Abby, you know that it's like, whoa. And here Abby comes, and she had this whole rant about moms do not need another checklist. They don't need another thing to do. We're already having to do all the things. We're already crazy. We've all got all the pressures. We've got this. What we don't need is a checklist. What we need is rest. Can you just help us to rest and just help us to chill out a little bit? So I'm a little troubled because, moms, I do want you to rest, but also want you to help diligently raise your kids to know the Lord. So how do we accomplish that? Well, I'm going to try, based on Abby's advice, not to give you a list. They're not even going to be on the screen. I'm just going to talk through a few practical suggestions. So if you want to take these and run with them, great. If you don't want to do any of these, that's fine. You decide as a mom, what does it look like in your household? And hopefully you have dad on board. Hopefully dad is also wanting to be a spiritual leader in the home, but maybe you don't. Maybe it's just you. Dad is absent. Dad's not here. You're a single mom. He doesn't know the Lord, or he doesn't care. It's just you. What can you do practically to try to help your kids see and know the Lord? So this is not a list. This is not check boxes. These are just a few practical suggestions. And I hope you're going to see none of these are hard or burdensome. They're all light and they're all easy and they're already things you're probably doing. But again, moms, I just want to remind you of the goal. The task is this: pass on the faith. How do you pass on the faith? Well, first you live it sincerely, but then you've got to help your kid see Jesus in the Bible. So how do we do that? So first thing, or not first thing, but just the one that comes first in practical tips. Mom, you love your Bible. Just love your Bible and open it around your kids. That's one of the most beautiful things you can do to help your kids have the faith passed on to them. Just open the Bible in front of them and you love it yourself. One of the things that my kids see regular is my wife every morning opening her Bible. She's got her precepts, she's got her colored pencils, she's in her chair, and she's just studying and reading and loving God's word. They see her in the afternoons and at night reading and loving and celebrating God's word. Now, mom, you don't have to have colored pencils. You don't have to have a whole show, but just do your kids see you opening the Bible and reading it? And your kids ever say, mom, what are you, I'm reading the Bible. This is the story of Jesus. I'm getting to know who God is, and I love him, and I love following him. Do they see you with an open Bible loving God? So if you're not doing anything, start there. Don't do anything else. Just start there as you try to pass on the faith to your kids. So another suggestion would be bedtime routine. And I know I already got somebody in my ear, like, don't tell us what to do at bedtime. It's already hard enough, and he hasn't anything. I get it. If you don't love bedtime, that's fine. But if you have somewhat of a bedtime routine, you got small kids, bedtime routine is a great time to add in acquainting them with the scriptures. Just read a few verses and pray in your bedtime routine. Maybe read the Jesus Storybook Bible by Sally Lloyd-Jones. What an amazing resource. If you have small kids, read that. And then pray, read a few scriptures and pray. Just at bedtime, before you go to bed, before you send them off, hey, let's read and let's pray. And then all of a sudden you have instilled in them, at night we read and we pray and then we go to bed. And hopefully that's gonna last a lifetime of them reading and praying and then softly going to bed. Another one on the non-list is music. You probably fill your car and your house with music. So especially if you have small kids, there's so many good resources like Slugs and Bugs. And when our kids are small, they have songs about scripture. They have worship songs about the Lord. Just filling your home and your car with good music that's centered around the gospel. And that's like, you don't only have to do that. Like, you can also have some country music. Like, I'm not being legalistic here, but you can introduce them to some good music that surrounds them with the gospel. So those are easy things. Bedtime, music. Another one would be using the resources you're already taking them to, like First Fruits Farm and youth ministry. Those are two great areas that are helping to teach your kids the gospel and the Bible. And so you can connect some dots. An easy dot is when you pick your kid up, hey, what'd you learn in class? It's a simple, not a whole lot of a thing, just what'd you learn in class? And just let them talk about the Bible. You're curious. I want to know. We actually at First Fruit Farm have a handout that goes home with kids every Sunday. You can scan the QR code. It's got scripted questions if you want to use that. If you take your kids to Impact Service, after Impact, Chase develops three questions to ask your kids the next day around the dinner table. I mean, it's like a softball pitch. It's like somebody threw you a softball and it's like, hey, just swing. Okay, here's three questions I can just ask my kid. I don't have to come up with a sermon. I don't have to come up with all this content. I can just connect them to what's already there and make the gospel part of our home, not just part of our church. It's a sincere faith. It's not we do Jesus there and then we just live our lives here. No, it's Jesus is everywhere. He's Lord here and he's Lord there. So just connect some of the dots that you're already taking your kids to. Another one is meals. Hey, you gotta eat, right? So make meals to be moments. And so at meals, pray. Maybe you're like, yeah, we don't really pray before meals. We don't really do that. Well, just start. Like your kids might be weird the first two times, then it's just normal. Hey guys, we're gonna pray. Why? Well, Jesus gave us his food, so we're gonna thank him for it. Okay, and then just switch up who's praying and just pray. Maybe add a, hey, what have you seen the Lord do this week in your life or around you? That's a great question. Just ask your kids and let them just explore. Ask for prayer requests. What was a high for you today? What was a low? What could I pray for you? Just have some spiritual conversations around the dinner table. They're already there. They're a captive audience and you're feeding them. Just add in, sprinkle in a little salt of Jesus around the table and see what the Lord could do over time. Now the next one, take or leave. This is not pressure. This is not, I'm not putting this on you. But what I would suggest is to do a weekly devotion. And this could be so simple. So what I mean by weekly devotion is just, man, pick a night. Maybe it's Tuesday night and we're gonna, hey, Tuesday night's gonna be our family devotion and we're gonna all get on the couch and we're gonna read some scripture and we're gonna pray together. And maybe you have a little scripture that you've picked out, you wanna tell them something, or maybe you just read and let it marinate and hey, let's go around and do popcorn prayers. Everybody pray for the person beside you. Just a real simple way. It doesn't have to be magical. Almost all of them will be a train wreck. Just being honest, like they were kids just like, ah, I'm gonna see how bad I can make this. What all of our kids are thinking, and it'll be a little bit of a train wreck, but you know what'll happen? You'll get the word and prayer, and hey guys, we come around Jesus. Jesus fills our home. And you know, every day if you want, but I would say like one day, if you just, that's a lot, as you see in the rhythms. So just pick a day and try to instill maybe a family devotion. And I think one of the biggest ways is just as you go. So maybe for you, you're not a structure person. You're not a structure mom. You're kind of a wing it mom. That's fine. Just you have to have intentionality at winging it. What that means is as you go, you're always looking for opportunities to connect your kids with the glory of God. You're always trying to connect your kids to the gospel in ways that are all around. And this is especially true in teenage years, because in teenage years, you have less of like bedtime Bible, right? They're kind of doing it on their own. And you have less of like maybe family devotion because kids are kind of getting old and it's a little bit different. But you know what you do? You have a lot more really big life moments. Because when your kid gets to be a teenager, all of a sudden there's real conflict. All of a sudden there's real sin that they commit and real sin that's committed against them. And it's messy and it's hard and there's emotion and there's grief and there's panic and there's anxiety and there's all of those things. So what do you do? As a mom, you stand in the gap of all of those things and you remind them of the glory of God and the good of the gospel. You remind them, hey, when you sin against that person, you know what you do? Well, you confess and you ask for forgiveness because that's what God has done in Christ for us. And when somebody sins against you, you know what you do? You go and you confront them and then you deal with this. And it's messy, I know, but this is how we live life as Christians. We deal with sin. Hey, when we mess up, hey, when you're anxious, what are you trusting in? You or are you trusting in God? Hey, I know you're worried. Are you worshiping now or are you fearful of man now? Man, when your son or daughter enters that age where they start liking someone, Well, all of a sudden now you get, as mom, to step into that gap and say, oh, well, what type of person do you want to marry? What does the Bible say about a godly husband or a godly wife? And then now when you enter into that dating world, how do we fight for purity? What are the boundaries? What are we setting up to make sure that you seek purity? You don't awaken up or stir up love until it pleases. Hey, let's have these conversations. See, parenting, when you get teenage years, it's about as you go, as things come up, you're remembering the goal is to pass on the faith. It's not just to get through the tragedy. It's to bring the gospel to bear. It's to make sure they know who Jesus is. And you can't control whether they know him or not, but you can control whether they know about him and they know about the gospel. So in all these ways and in all these moments, again, it's not a list. It's you're just, okay, if we're going to acquaint our kids with the scriptures, how do we do it? We can do it with sort of scheduled intentionality, or I'm just as I go, but I'm going to be intentional. I'm remembering the goal is to pass on the faith. And I do that by connecting them to Jesus through the Bible. Because notice what the Bible is for. If you look back up at that text in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll go back to it. It says this, they were acquainted with the sacred writings, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. What does the Bible do for your kids? It doesn't just teach them rules to follow so they become little Pharisees who obey all the rules. That's not what you do with the Bible. It's not, hey, obey me because here's what the Bible says. No, the Bible tells them they need Jesus. It doesn't just tell them you are a liar and you are a thief. That's why you lie to me. So you're a sinner. So you need to not lie and not steal. No, it tells them there is one named Jesus who isn't a liar and isn't a thief. He's a truth teller. And you can repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus, and he will make you a truth teller. And then you can start telling the truth because you're in Jesus. And powered by the Holy Spirit, you can be a truth teller in the gospel. See, it's leading your kids through the Bible to see they've got a great need of salvation. And there is a great Savior, and his name is Jesus. And they can have a relationship with him. So in the Bible, we point our kids to Jesus. Again, that Jesus Storybook Bible is a fantastic resource. What about some of you moms who you have rebellious kids? They're walking away, they're running away. Maybe they're young adults now and they're not following the Lord, even though you tried your best to pass on the faith. They're just not walking with the Lord. They're rebelling and they're running. I want to tell you about a mom named Monica. Her son lived just a rebellious life. He was immoral, false beliefs. He ran from God all the way into his adulthood. And Monica just kept pursuing him in prayer. A pastor once told her, "The child of those tears shall never perish. Just keep praying for your son." And she did. Although he kept running and he kept living a wayward life, he didn't want anything to do with God until something happened in his life where God got his attention. And then in adulthood, he gave his faith to the Lord and became a believer. And his mom rejoiced that all of those prayers finally caught up and the Lord rescued him from sin. And it wasn't but a short season after this woman died. And she never really saw what became of her son. She said, "He was rebellious and I prayed and now he came to faith." That woman, Monica's son, is a person that we know. It was St. Augustine of Hippo. He's one of the most famous theologians the church has ever known. One of the biggest giants of Christian history. What could you say helped his faith? A praying mom. A mom who didn't give up. And a mom who never saw how her boy turned out. But her boy helped change the world. See, mom, if you have a son or a daughter who's rebelling and running, what do? You keep praying. You keep seeking, you keep pursuing, because you never know what God's going to do with your son and daughter, and you might not even know it until you get to heaven, until you get to home, like we sang about. So as we just land the plane, I'm going to ask the band to come out, and we're going to sing a response song. Here's what I just want to, just land the plane for all of you moms in the room. What is the task? What are you supposed to do as a mom? There are 10,000 things that you're responsible for, right? You feel the pressure, you feel the weight. So hopefully we haven't given you more responsibility. We've lightened the load just a little bit. You're not responsible to make your kid happy the rest of their life. You're not responsible for making them chase every dream and fulfill it. That's not on you. You know what you're responsible for, mom? Is to make sure you pass on the faith. So how do you pass on the faith? Well, you make sure your son or your daughter knows who Jesus is from the scriptures. And it's not overly complicated. It's not overly hard. It starts with you sincerely loving the Lord and sincerely loving his scriptures. And then in a real organic way, passing that on. See, here's a single mom in a broken home with the world stacked against her. But you know what? She raised a son to know and walk with the Lord and become one of the great leaders of the church. And so I hope that encourages you, no matter where you are. God can use whatever brokenness you're in to raise up this next generation to know and love the Lord. So mom, what do? We got to aim right. And the aim is pass on the faith. And if you'll aim there, all the thousand details will take care of themselves as we glorify the Lord and teach our kids to do the same. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. Father, I pray that although Instagram and the world would tell moms so many different messages, I pray that you have helped clarify. The goal is simple. The goal is to pass on the faith. So help moms feel encouraged. Help them feel unburdened. Give them rest today, knowing that you are good and you're going to be good to them. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.